peace and innumerable blessings. My name is Jeanette Lansian, and welcome to the Spirituality and Motherhood Podcast, where we're going to explore different ways of honoring your spiritual path, your spiritual gifts, and your divine connection while being a mama. My intention is to support you in your spiritual path, gifts, and divine connection by sharing the wisdom and the experiences of other mothers who are on the path, just like you. So you don't have to do this alone. We're here with you. I come to this podcast as a mother of two boys, ages 4 and 7. There was a birthday. Woo! A psychic, a root worker, a hoodoo, a tree talker, and a lay herbalist. I also come to you as an entrepreneur. I run a website called Simple Weekly Ritual, where I offer full and new moon ritual via a newsletter to support you, your kids, and working full and new moon energy, because everybody deserves goodness, and I personally want to be a part of it. Let's get into this podcast, right? You guys, I'm so excited about this podcast. So this episode features an interview of the amazing Jocelyn Gordon. And like, before I read her bio, I have to tell you how I met Jocelyn and why she's important to me. I met her in the days when I was in DC and living my best child-free life, smoking weed, drinking martinis, playing volleyball. And we met through an ex. And the interesting thing about Jocelyn is, like, she's been very important to my spiritual path, because Jocelyn was like, you know what? Why don't you just go over here and take a yoga teacher training? And I was like, what? Word? I could just do these things? And I did. And yoga was an integral part to my spiritual path, because it introduced me to a lot of inspirational women, and it helped me get in my body. A lot of my life, I've been outside of my body, and I still sometimes struggle to stay in my body because of trauma, but yoga taught me how to get in my body and stay there. And being intuitive, being psychic, working with different energies and entities, being in your body is very important. It's where your discernment lies. It's where your wisdom lies. Yeah, Jocelyn very much helped me. So I pray that you enjoy this interview. I got a lot out of it, in the sense of better understanding the importance of boundaries and how children help you with that, right? And her discussion around balance being something that comes and goes, and you dance around it, but it's not, you know, it's never static. And it's very interesting hearing about her daughters. There's a lot in this interview, and I pray it blesses you, but I want to read this bio. So you have a better idea, just, you know, how amazing Jocelyn is. Jocelyn has been called Yoga Rebel by Yoga Journal. She's known for her joyful integration of dance, yoga, and meditation, called Hoop Yogini and Bhakti Boogie Yoga. She's also toured nationally with Wanderlust. She's a 6-time presenter at the Bali Spirit Festival. She's worked with Academy Award-winning actresses Halle Berry and Marissa Tomei. She's also been recently featured on Apple News as a meditation guide for the Essence Magazine Virtual Wellness House. She is the mother of two amazing queens and an advocate for peaceful birth, maternal and infant well-being. Jocelyn supports birthing people in up-leveling their health before pregnancy, which is very important. Very important. Because you need your health to be right before you have them babies or your teeth. Well, never mind. Let me read. As the course doula, Jocelyn coaches healers and movement educators to create their first online course and teacher training programs. Her work supports women with fertility, embodiment, and leadership. And you can, like, see more about her by visiting Hoop Yogini. Bashas links if you want to check her out while you're listening to her wisdom. And you can also schedule a 20-minute free alignment session to explore one-on-one coaching. Jocelyn's really amazing, and I pray that you enjoy this interview as much as I did doing it. I'll see you after some intuitive wisdom, some spiritual, and then her interview, right? See you soon. Peace. All right, let's get started on this intuitive wisdom and this simple ritual because it's kind of been burning in my chest. So let's see what comes out, right? We're going to start with the ritual today. So whenever you hear this, for the next few days, a week at the very least, do the best that you can to find simple, easy ways to pleasure yourself. So you can pleasure yourself, it says like 3 times a day. You can do something to bring some pleasure to yourself because you deserve pleasure. And there's a lot going on. There's still a lot going on. And there's also a lot of pain with what's going on because in many ways, a lot of us are losing a lot. We're losing things societally. Many of us are losing family members. A lot of us are losing friends. Relationships may not be what they were. The earth is changing. Our habits are changing. And it's very important within all this change that you give yourself something to sustain yourself, right? Something sweet, something easy, something accessible that you can give to yourself to sustain you, right? To nourish you, to help you be fully grounded, fully present, and fully engaged so that you can make the changes that you need to make for yourself and for your family. And allowing yourself simple pleasures at least 3 times a day also staves off behaviors that could be detrimental to your health and well-being. Detrimental things like eating too much, drinking too much, doing anything in excess as a coping mechanism for what's going on. The space and time pleasure is very powerful medicine that we need to root into and utilize. Now, when I say pleasure yourself, it can look a variety of ways, but do things that make your body feel good. And ideally, it's pleasureful. So like, you know, unless you really get off on like exercise, maybe exercise isn't your thing. Maybe just sitting is your thing. Maybe, you know, putting on clothes that are extra comfortable. Maybe going braless is your thing. Maybe wrapping yourself in a blanket and just sitting there for a few minutes, being wrapped and cocooned is your thing. Whatever it is your thing to bring yourself pleasure, sustainable pleasure now, 3 times a day, please do that. Please allow yourself pleasure. And if you got the kids, bring them in on this. Have them do something 3 times a day that brings them joy, brings them pleasure, brings them more fully into the present moment and into their bodies. So if your kids like to dance or you like guys like to dance together, this is a great time. If pleasure means drawing and making art, this is a great time. If pleasure means going outside and running around and splashing in mud puddles or kicking a soccer ball or shooting a basketball or just doing cartwheels or just being barefoot on the grass or going to a swing, allow it. It's very important that we all have a little bit of sweetness to help us digest this bitter because there's a lot of bitter medicine coming through. And there's a lot of other things that are important that need to happen now, and pleasure lubricates it. Now is also a great time for mourning. Although it's not a part of the ritual, it's more a part of the wisdom. We need to mourn. We need to mourn. We need to mourn. A lack of mourning, a lack of acknowledgement of what we're losing, what we've lost, what's causing us pain, prevents us from moving forward. If there's people you've lost to COVID, even adjacent to you, please light a candle and mourn. It causes like some sort of spiritual backup because some spirits feel like they need to be acknowledged. Yeah, they need to be acknowledged in this great transition of humanity and being seen for their part in it. So like mourn, light a candle, be like, I feel sad that this is past. I feel sad that this person is past. I feel sad that I have lost this. And it could be like a death of a friend, although that seems in the air. It could also be like, I am mourning the death of the idea of sending kids to school and, you know, with the fear that they're not going to bring home COVID. I'm mourning all the Black life that has been lost. Mourn, grieve, be sad, knowing that as you allow these emotions to flow, you're supporting your own health and well-being as well as the health and well-being, emotional well-being of the planet, because we're all in this together. So grieve. That was not what I expected. What else needs to be said? What else needs to be said is also right now, it's important to continue to do things that anchor you fully and completely in yourself and your own wisdom. We all have our own lane. It's important that we understand what our lane is and to stay in said lane, because life often tries to pull us out of our lane. Life often tries to disconnect us from our own wisdom and the wisdom of the earth. And it's time for us very much to pull ourselves into our own body's wisdom, into our own, like, our soul wisdom, collectively and individually, and into the wisdom of the earth. Because things are not what they seem at all. They're not, and you might be feeling it already, but things are not. The truth is obscured and not quite apparent, and the motives are obscured and not quite apparent, and it's important for us to discern. It's important for us to practice some discernment about the things that we are told to do with ourselves, with our children, with our family, with each other. Practice some discernment, practice some research, practice some, my belly says yes, but my heart says no, and I have to take a second to figure it out. Especially as we head into spring and summer, practice some discernment. Check in with yourself before you decide to go anywhere and do anything, because things aren't necessarily clear and apparent. We're not being told everything. And it's important to know that and also rely on yourself in some ways. Your own internal wisdom, not like, you know, in a community, I do everything myself, but like honor your own wisdom. Yes, because that is how we're going to move forward. All of us kind of honoring our own wisdom, but still kind of allowing that to place us where we need to be so we can be in harmony and community and move forward. That kind of, you need to honor your own wisdom for that. All right, that's what needs to be said. At the end of the day, if like none of this works, find some pleasure for yourself. Ideally 3 times a day, but hey, do what you can. Do what you can. Pull your kids in on the pleasure. Do something that's pleasurable for them. You know, jackpot would be something that's pleasurable for both of you guys. So if it's like, if that means we're going to go hike together or we're going to go mountain bike, whatever it is, we're going to bake this cake and take it to grandma, whatever it is, pleasure for everybody where you live. At least once a day, ideally thrice a day. All right, let's get into this interview. See you on the backside.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You're luminous.
Oh, thank you. This is extreme measures. I haven't been hydrating well.
We're all doing the best we can these days. You made this interesting post that I was like, you had like your mom and Jordan and Sienna, and you talked about the directions on the medicine wheel and how you guys were the full medicine wheel. And I kind of wanted to talk about like how your mother has influenced your spiritual path and how like you've kind of supported like your own girls and their spiritual path. And because I just saw that and I was like, this is just.
Thank you. I need to post more about that. And yes, my mom, I want to say like my mom is my guru. So we know that we have actually learned a lot from each other through tension. So yeah, a lot of tension. And definitely we have more ease with each other now. We also have, there's, less dependency, more autonomy. I.e., I am an adult. And however, it's interesting as the pendulum swings, like she's definitely in her elder years. I saw her make that shift about 2 years ago when I moved back to the States from living overseas, Bali and New Zealand. And it was divine timing because as soon as we arrived, she entered her healing crisis that kind of lasted for a year and a half to 2 years. And it was in that time that I looked up at one point. I was like, oh my gosh, like my mom is like not elderly to the point, she's not like sedentary, but it's like there was a shift. And I was like, oh my gosh, my mom is in her senior elderly stage for sure. Yeah, so I'm seeing. She doesn't need me in terms of her day to day, so to speak. Her needs, she's in a really good, like she invested really well, and she's in this like extended care facility currently in independent living. It's got all the bells and whistles, and it goes to end of life, and it happens to be 40 minutes up the road. But emotional dependency has increased, and it's a balancing act for me. But it's a, well, I don't like the word balancing, but it's something that I teeter on, being that I'm a mother of a 5-year-old and a 20-year-old, and my mom is 74. So it's like attending to everyone's emotional needs, but most not, I'm gonna say most importantly mine, or just my needs, because not from a selfish perspective, but from the lens of like I have to maintain my sacred space, to be able to show up for anyone or anything in my life. So it's an interesting journey. We definitely have made, have we made peace? I think so. I mean, the activations that we used to have with each other, they are few and far between now. And I've done my work so that they're less activating in myself. Less like codependent reactions about what this means in terms of my self-worth and who I am. And more like also able to just assert, like sometimes I don't need to say it, but I can just be like, that's her stuff, that's not my stuff. It's all good. And I don't have to like,
Oh, I get it. It's my mom.
So my mom is my biggest teacher. And yeah, we've gone through a lot together, but I think forever, for such a long time, I was the child in the family. So even as an older child and then adult, it seemed that my voice wasn't as potent as the matriarchy. Yeah. So, but she was like, I hear everything that you say. Probably more than you realize. I don't always agree with it, but I hear you. I was like, okay. So that's literally where we are as of Tuesday, April. This is a
Wow,
statement
that's
of
a nice
progress.
progress, though.
Thank you.
Because it makes things challenging when things with moms ain't right to be the parent.
I think especially, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know how it is with my dad, but we're pretty copacetic as my mom and I. I think it's more so when you existed in someone's body. I mean, again, I don't know what that relationship's like with like a mother who's not a birth mother and that child. I don't know how that works, but just from my own experience of having lived in my mom's body and then having two other people live inside me, I think it's a bit more activational.
So, like, let's talk about your spiritual practice. What does it look like?
Oh gosh. Well, you know, it, yeah. I want to say it waxes and it wanes in terms of the physical expression of, did I light my sage or should sit at my altar today kind of thing. But I also want to say it's ever present. Like when I just like look around my own space and I see, I mean, it's Sienna's teepee, but it's here. It's a statement and the art. And I got my girls back there and, you know, I got my medicine drum over here. I don't know. My spiritual practice is to just embody just like being present that like I'm alive. I'm a medicine holder. My work, my professional work has a lot to do with the hoop. That's probably what I'm kind of most known in the world for. If I were known in the world, it's for hoop yogini. And that combines hula hooping with yoga and meditation. And really, like when that modality descended upon me in 2008 or so, you know, like I could feel into the energetics of it. And I could definitely feel into the physicality of it. It's really been over the last 3 years that it's been teaching me on different ways of what I've embodied. Like I don't really need the hoop as much. I mean, it's there as a physical fitness practice. However, to me, its overarching teacher is about sacred space, compassion, finding center, boundary setting, having a physical boundary. This is my space. This is your space. Like the teachings are so much more expanded. And so I feel like, although it's always ongoing, I just feel like I'm like just kind of orienting to where I feel center and when I don't feel it. And whether that be sitting at my desk or, well, desk anyway, the couch, the kitchen table, the floor, the chair in the corner. You know, picking up my kid, you know, even the moments where I'm like, you are so not in your center right now. But like the moments of awareness, they're just more. So to me, to answer your question, like my spiritual practice is an awareness practice, a consciousness practice, that leads to living my life as a moving meditation. And it doesn't always mean that I'm like tai zen with it. You know, it's nice when I am, and I'm like, wow, girl, you are so right there. And but you know, it's like, I don't know. It's present. So in terms of the rituals, yeah, well, I weave my rituals into my commitments to the community that I space hold for through Hoop Yogini. And so there's this dynamic accountability that happens. So I'm responsible in that space several times a week, teaching, leading online retreats and master classes, and guiding meditations, holding space for the teacher training. So a lot of that will naturally include like the medicine wheel and my altars and things like that. Taking walks, that's part of my spiritual. I wish it was sounded more exciting, but like it's
No.
okay. I mean, that used to be like in terms of my spiritual practice when I lived in New York and my physical practice, it was like I was taking dance classes at Geneva Dance and Drum like 3 to 6 times a week, like dancing samba, Martha Graham, Afro-Haitian. That was my spiritual practice. I was going to church, I was doing Bible study. I was also in my 20s. I didn't have any kids. I was in like, you know, a bustling city. Everything was there. Yeah, I was going to yoga practice. I was in massage school all of that. And then DC as well. My spiritual practice, I was really, really, really into professionally the hands-on healing arts. So I was giving massages, offering yoga therapy, teaching yoga classes, hula hooping all over town in the DC metro area. And every morning I was getting up at about 5:30 or 6 a.m. I was doing like a Lakshmi chant. I was doing like spinal movements, but my yoga practice then, because I was so physical, was more like, literally, let me do some cat-cows, some side arches, thread the needle and legs up against the wall, because like I was moving my body all day long and I just needed a more restorative practice. And then when I moved to California, ecstatic dance became more of my part of my life, and being part of that community, both in Big Sur and San Francisco, a lot of dancing, teaching at Esalen, going to their workshops, and generally being out in nature. Like if you're not out in nature in Big Sur, California, I don't really know what you're doing. seriously. So nature immersion was my spiritual practice at the forefront in California. And I was doing a lot of hoop yogini. So there was a lot of downloads that I was receiving. Hoop yogini has been part of a huge part of my spiritual practice. Fast forward to Bali, Indonesia. We moved there on the eve of my eldest 13th birthday. And this is before Sienna was born. My spiritual practice then, oh my Lord, have mercy, was realizing I had to have a spiritual practice. Because if there's any place that expresses a spiritual practice, it is Bali, Indonesia. They practice Balinese Hinduism. And basically, I just woke up one day. I was like, oh, they practice voodoo. Like, it's just island people steeped in nature. And so that mixed with the Hindu elements and devotion, I mean, all day long, you will see people offering prayers, even whilst at work. Like, that's part of your job. If you're a shopkeeper, if you're any person, have a job in Bali and you are Balinese, you will be offering prayers all day long outside. You know, it wouldn't be like you're not doing your job if your boss walked in and saw you making the rice leaf, you know, banana paper, you know, folding up the palms and rice and all that. You better put those things on the altars, because we anyway. So my point is observing this massive bhakti, this just culturally immersed expression of devotion that was hugely impactful. And also being very sensitive, just tuning into, like, there's just prayers and things flying all kinds of ways in there, and entities that immersion in Bali over 4.5 years consciously initiated me into awareness of entities. Through direct experience and also how to get rid of them and how to not attract them, or at least minimize. I can laugh now, but there were some moments, man.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So prayer, but also land acknowledgements and acknowledging the energy, the spirit of a place. That's really hugely what Bali told me. And I kind of chuckle like when I see people, or it used to be more before COVID, but like this person, they're like, I retreat in Bali in September. And I'm like presuming or thinking they've probably never been there. And just to me, just Bali is just not one of those places. Like, unless you've gone there, that's been the island saying yes. Unless you've like connected with her, like in some, just really, if you don't connect with her, she's going to connect with you. And if you're not conscious about it, you're going to get bitch slapped. I have seen this happen to myself and many, many others. And so, yeah, I just kind of chuckled when I would see people just join me in February. And like, you have to understand her energies, because it's a highly transformational place. That's why we're drawn to it. It's very activational, which is why we're drawn to it. And if you don't know how to hold that field or honor that field, like not just you, but you got to be able to honor the how that field's going to affect the people in your retreat. And so I just, you know, Bali ain't nothing to fuck with. I bow down to her. And I know there's other places like that on the planet. And
Hawaii is like that. I was told
Hawaii is like
Hawaii
that.
would kick me off. I could go to
Yeah.
the island and stay 3 months.
Yep. Like, you got to go now.
Good.
And if you don't listen, And they're very similar. The Bali-fornia, Hawaii, it's, you know, we they a lot of us kind of make that circuit.
Yeah.
And that Pele energy.
Fire.
There's either three or six volcanoes on Bali, something like that. It's crazy. So yeah, that's what Bali told me, respect, taught me respect of the spiritual energies and the energy of a place, the land personality. Yeah. So, and she took me, she and she taught, that's what she does, like the shadow and light, like in equal measure. So, I mean, that's where I met my husband. That's where I made my baby that I knew for 10 years prior was coming. That's where I brought Hoop Yogini to an totally another level. Like, my career, my work became definitely more visible, and on and on and on. And it was where, like, I was taken to the depth. Like, I went, I had a dark night of the soul for about 3 years. I was taken to the depths of my self-loathing. My head was on the table a lot. Like, it was just really intense, and also magnificently beautiful. So here I am in Florida. I'm like, I'm good. Well, once she kicked us off the island, in a good way. And then I went to New Zealand, which is where my husband's from. We are currently separated, however, I mean, we're forever family. And now New Zealand's part of my family too. And so to feel welcome there, definitely after what I received from Bali, I definitely felt like at least the South Island has embraced me, and I feel like there's an invitation back. I've been back twice. Yeah, and I feel, I mean, I haven't totally, like, I've definitely put my body on her, and we've connected in different ways. Oh my gosh, especially Castle Hill is such a magnificent place. And yeah, anyway, I just feel like we're good. Like, I can feel like we're good. So in Florida, it's just been like, why? Okay, Florida, what? Back on the mainland. I'm still tuning into the energy of where I am here. However, I'm definitely, once I got into my first year, started to meet like the light workers, and like we just keep popping out and around each other and be like, oh, hey, we're here. Like, hey, I'm here. You know, because it seems like it's pretty much like a retirement community where I live. But it's a very attractive, lovely community, and it's affordable and stuff. But it's definitely like an older population and kind of like a retired, what do you call it? Reserved kind of community. It's not like Ubud.
So, like, as a mother, and having had these sort of various experience with the earth and spirits on the earth, and like being able to kind of stay in your own center and honor your own intuition, your own path, your own, how do you balance these sort of like these crazy times with COVID, especially with like Sienna and Jordan, like being able to maintain your center but still like honor the like the integrity of the youth, but still figure out the sort of balance of protection and all that other stuff.
Well, excuse me, one, because I've been teaching online since 2011, and I continue to make rather, you know, big investments in that. And that really expanded in 2014 when I moved to Bali on just like a logistical level. Like, I mean, oh, I work at home. Like, I'm location free. Like, okay, so I got, you know, for me, it wasn't a holiday. I know for people who are like, it's a holiday and they're still getting those unemployment checks. Why do I need to go to work? Blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't like that for me, but I didn't have, it just wasn't dramatic for me. It was like, okay, I mean, I already work at home. Jordan's in college, and she was in New York City, so where she is enrolled in college. Now it's online, blah, blah, blah. So that was, you know, I feel for her, that was very isolating. She already has kind of one of these like very introverted personalities, very discerning about the people she lets into her life. She can lean a little bit too much towards the hermetic kind of thing. So
yeah,
for her and knowing that, it was tricky. You know, I felt for her, for her journey. And yeah, just like the hoop and the circle, like being there for her and praying for her, you know, and also like she's going through her experience, like not being like, you're going through your experience, whatever, you know, you're alone, but just like, how much could I don't know. She's taught me in terms of energy management, because one of her superpowers is that she can affect a space with her mood. Except that was very, very intense because her moods were like very intense. And so I was like, when you master this, which she's still in the process of, but even as a young person, I mean, you know, her mood probably, I don't know if she ever oozed her mood in your space. She can ooze a mood and it's full on. Yeah. So with her, even at a young age, I had to learn like boundaries. It's like, I'm here for you. I love you. You know, I'm mommy, you're my daughter, that kind of thing. And like, I don't need to show my alliance to you by joining you in that funk. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm going to continue to nurture myself, to live my life, to choose joy as much as I can in this moment. And I hope you realize that, you know, me choosing joy and to be in a different state doesn't mean that I don't love you. So she's taught me that, to do that. And she'd have to speak herself on how that affects her. But yeah, so I kind of, that same approach, like how, you know, so I was like, pick up your guitar, make art. This is like the most epic time to get back into your writing and to journal. Like, all the art's going to, you're an amazing artist. All the art's going to be like, I made this during COVID, you know, everything now is like post COVID, you know? So like, do your art, make art, and
yeah,
that be your therapy. And then with Sienna, I think she really loved it because she was home with me all day. We were baking every day. I don't know. I don't know how any family got through it. I'm not sure exactly how we did as a solo mom, because, or me as a solo parent, but I don't seem to have time to bake right now, even though I'm still at home. But we were baking, and I mean, my business expanded last year professionally and financially. So that was pretty awesome. It seemed, you know, obviously it was the right time for wellness and the right time to be Black, and in wellness to be Black female.
Yes. So,
all of those things. In terms of the insulation, I keep a field around. I mean, it's just working with the field energetics. Yeah. Like, well, why I did watch the, what is it? The Ahmaud Arbery. Did you see that when he was
being,
yeah. Okay. So anyway, I made the mistake of watching one thing on Instagram that was like, it did say sensitive content, blah, 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 blah. But I do that all the time as a birth worker, right? Cause you're like,
yeah, yeah. You know, they show the head coming out. You're like, yeah, I see that. It's the Moscow.
Exactly. Woman's like on all fours and the camera's right in her butt. I'm like, okay, yeah. Awesome. Birth, life. So amazing. So I guess, I don't know, that day I was just, I don't know, but I watched it and I was traumatized, man. I was traumatized. And then it all kind of hit ahead on Mother's Day for me, where I realized I had been in a frozen state. I couldn't concentrate that week. I was like in a freeze state in my nervous system. So that also helped me with boundaries, because I just, and my marriage is like, I have to be a guardian of my peace. I, you know, and that is the number one thing. So I have stronger boundaries for that now, because of that experience and being married.
So yeah, I think we never teach you about being married, being in a partnership, that you just need, like, it's interesting to hear you say about like Jordan and oozing the mood and just being able, I love you, I'm not going to do that with you. And just being able to like, okay, yeah. So that's like the beginning of the hoop.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, just the fact that she was able to help you with that.
I don't know. I don't think she realized that, but I tell her that now.
They never do. And then being able to kind of even like hearing you just say, just like through COVID and being able to move forward and still having that boundary, that's just so, that's amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Really amazing. Cause like, I'm not quite sure people understand their own energetic boundaries and yeah. also how like, you know, they affect others and how like kind of like the little dance really happens and how mm-hmm. we all participate in our own little dances.
Yep. I agree. And so. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing journey. And of like, yeah, self-responsibility and boundary awareness, energetics. Lots, that's why I say a wide hoop of compassion for everyone.
Yeah. So what Sienna brings you and just like the energy of Bali, just being with her. Like, I just imagine.
She is very joyful and energetic and smart and lovely. And what do I learn from her? Gosh, well, I'll be real. Like right now I'm managing mom guilt because, you know, it's like, I have been, I want to say strident, but that is not the word. I have been vigorously committed to living a different lifestyle. Not like I'm going to live a different lifestyle than most, but just like, I just like jobs don't fit on me well, like being an employee, just like my arms can't get into that at all.
Yeah.
Project to project consultant. Yes. Can do that. So however, as a CEO of my own business, which is pretty much a home-based business, that's where that's definitely where I'm tight, have to tighten in my boundaries for sure.
Yeah.
Over time management. And I know, does that exist? That could be another lie. I don't know. But yeah, it could just be easy to physically be working all the time or often, or, you know, just, I mean, the hours, it's like, I'm fitting it in, whether it get up at 5 a.m., you know, have a seat until 5:30, do the thing. And then, you know, definitely until 2:40. And then I get the kid and sometimes it oozes into that. And, you know, so that boundary. So that is definitely where I'm learning better boundaries and to really actually, she's reminding me to play. And I have set some boundaries with her. I don't like playing Barbies and dolls. Okay. And I've had lots of experience and I didn't like it as a child. And sure, could I go to therapy and talk about this? For sure, I could. However, I did not like playing Barbies as a child. I don't like playing Barbies now. So I will tell her, I will do this for 5 minutes. I love you dearly. And however, it has nothing to do with you. I don't enjoy this. But that said, she definitely invites me to play and like, you know, art, activity books, music, dancing, mud pies outside. Just so she's often like, come on, mom, let's go outside. I like that. That's super sweet. So she is reminding me to play and have better boundaries with both the physical dynamics of my work and the energetic space, like to just really, when I'm with her, to just say, I will get to that later, to put it outside of the hoop.
Outside of the hoop. Yes. We are mud pieing now.
Yes, we are mud pieing now. Mm-hmm. And this is the only thing that needs to be to happen right now is mud pieing. So that's literally what I'm personally learning.
Like between Sienna and Jordan, like how have they both kind of changed your relationship with spirit? Because it's been interesting talking to you about like the movement and like the creation of the hoop and the boundaries and learning to dance and all sorts of different things. But like, I kind of wonder, because each child has like these gifts that kind of change your connection. How have they both changed your connection?
That's a good question. I haven't looked at it like that before. I think what comes up is connecting with like their personalities in the womb and just even realizing like that our personalities express themselves quite early on. Just the way Jordan was like really chill and still, just kind of how she is now. But however, if I was sitting in a position too long, she'd be like, hey. You know, elbowing me, kicking me. And then I'd move around. She'd be really chill. Or she would actually alert me to emotional reactions or emotional triggers kind of before. And she'd be like, boom, 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 boom. I'd be like, oh, wow, interesting. Yeah. And then,
Wow.
oh my gosh. And just Jordan, she is a tell it like it is person. Like, and that's in terms of motherhood, of relationship dynamic. That's not that it's very different from my mom is, I mean, Jordan, she can't be disrespectful or like, just like, you know, especially in the ways that probably our moms identify like disrespect. However, she, like we have, and I won't say they're like woman to woman yet, but she'll tell me, she'll be like, when you did or didn't do this, or like she's very good at speaking her boundaries, and like, because I'll get on her sometimes because like she doesn't have a poker face at all, and that's fine. It's just so much. I'm like, she'll just make a face, and I'm like, dude, do you have to do that? Like, every time she's like, mom, you can't, like, you should know as a somatic therapist that I cannot control my physical reactions to like a trigger. So she's that one. Good Lord, the sword of discernment, that one. I don't know, how does that relate to spirit? I mean, we're all teachers, so I don't, that's all I have to say. And then with Sienna's womb personality, she was always moving and kicking, drumming. She would have hiccups, like for the last 3 months, she had hiccups like inside of me all the time. And then when she came out, like literally, like her limbs were always like moving. I'm like, wow, you are this
Wow.
person. And now she needs to be moving, active, stimulate me. She's curious about the world. Like, Jordan's very contemplative and Sienna's very curious. Sienna's very much, I'm here to live. And Jordan's like, if I get born one more time.
Jordan is tired of our foolishness.
Yes, she is just like, who do I have to talk to? I'm tired of this. We were looking at her pictures recently, and her face was just, she just always looked bewildered. And we were talking, and I was like, Jordan, I realized, and now you were like, dang it, born again. How she looked in all her baby pictures, like,
Why am I here? These fools.
So Jordan is like, I need to graduate. I need to be done with coming back to Earth as a human, or just coming back to Earth. So she's not suicidal. She's just really clear on that. She's like, yeah, I have done this, and I'm good with not doing this again. So yeah. And Sienna's like, mom, I want to be a baby again. I want to come out of your yoni again. I want to be born again. When I come back, are you going to be my mom again? Like, yeah.
Wow, it's like night and day. Night and day.
And I'm like, oh, I have to come back. Okay, as long as I can bring all the wisdom and stuff with me, and like, you know, don't, I don't want to come back trying to be woke again. Like, just bring it all, you know. But it would be cool to like be done and like go to graduate.
So, what's been most helpful for you in terms of dancing with motherhood and spirituality and finding balance between the two?
Well, I don't actually look for balance. That's like a word. Like, I just feel like the illusion around, or the premise is like, you find something, you achieve it, and like you stay there. And I just
Yeah.
don't think that
There's no static.
it's a movement. it's a movement practice. It just, it is. And I have Jordan to tell me when I'm effing up, you know, and I have Sienna to be like, you're the best, you know. Like Sienna's really, she's just like, was it a month ago we were in the car? She's like, I'm really glad I got a good mommy and a good daddy. And she goes, and I don't know, she just came from her inner spirit. And she was just like, because not everyone gets a good mommy and a good daddy. And I am just very happy that I did. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Oh, I'm so good. And I said, I'm so, just want to honor and acknowledging you for realizing that, you know? And then I had to go on, even though, then later on I was like, even though mommy and daddy aren't together, I'm so glad, you know, that you can acknowledge that we're here for you. And, you know, we got you. So, yeah. So Sienna's just like, you might be messing up. She doesn't know. She's just like, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I just love this sort of dance between your daughters and how you've kind of been able to be in the middle of the hoop. So I know you're busy. So I just want to thank you so much for your time and sharing your energy and your story with us. Thank you so much, Jocelyn.
Thanks and praises.
I know there was a lot there. Everything from understanding boundaries. One child gives you medicine, the other child gives you sugar. Dancing in and out of balance. Learning to take care of yourself so that you can support others, and realizing that if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of nobody else. There was a lot there. There's a lot of juice, and I hope you received it and that you were nourished by it. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about Jocelyn, check out hoopyogini.com. She also has like a Hoop Yogini teacher training that's enrolling now, if you want to check out. And it's a mindfulness-based, trauma-informed flow arts education program. So you can check out that on hoopyogini.com. If you want to support me, well, thank you first for being here and listening, because that is support in itself. So if you want to do a little more, go on over to Simple Weekly Ritual and subscribe, because that is support. It's nice to share. It feels good to share. Yeah. And also be sure to share this with your friends. Let your friends know what you be doing, what you be listening to, watching on the internet. You can also send me some change by PayPal. But do what you can do. I'm just thankful for you being here. All right. So I look forward to seeing you, talking to you for the next episode. Stay blessed.